Hi, everybody. I'd like to introduce our new sponsor, who is Nobody. Nobody is sponsoring this. Yes, if you can believe it, if you are trying to buy a product, service, call our new sponsor, who's Nobody. They won't give you a warranty. They won't give you a product. They won't give you a price because they are absolutely nobody. So if you can't find a product, try our new sponsor, who is absolutely nobody.
Hi, this is Real Estate Podcast for the Common Man, where we talk about selling, buying, investing in homes. We're not baffling you with BS. We're dazzling you with brilliance. We're not telling you how to become a millionaire. We are telling you stories, the truth, and the information no one is talking about. So sit back, listen, laugh, and enjoy Real Estate Podcasts for the Common Man.
Hey everybody, JD here. Hope you had a great time with friends, neighbors, relatives, and acquaintances. I'm going to be talking about quite a lot in this podcast. I've got a lot of emails from a lot of my listeners. Really appreciate you guys. And I'm going to try to answer quite a lot of questions regarding kind of what the future of home ownership is going to be, what is planning on coming up in the future, some of the stories of real estate, and some advice to first-time home buyers. So we're going to cover actually quite a lot, and it should be relatively interesting. I've been looking at kind of the future of home buying, home ownership. And I realized that in the next probably 10 years, a lot of people will be having robots.
Damn, that's crazy. You know,
Elon Musk is producing robots that should probably be introduced to the public in the next few years. Boston Dynamics is producing robots that are really advanced. So there's going to be quite a lot. And I think what will happen is a lot of these robots will be doing chores in the home, like vacuuming, cleaning. There's a robot that actually folds laundry and put them away. Maybe there'll be a robot that will actually cook for you. Maybe it's all the same type of robots. Extremely high advanced. Matter of fact, according to my research, they range from about $20,000 to $50,000. Probably about a price of a car, but they'll be really into doing quite a lot. As a matter of fact, there is a robot that you can purchase now. It's kind of like a Roomba, and it actually cuts your lawn. So you just put it out, put a couple of spikes where you want the robot lawnmower to cut your lawn, and it just stays within those boundaries, cuts your entire lawn, and you can do other things. So that's happening. Appliances will be probably really advanced. As a matter of fact, they're coming up with a refrigerator.
Hello, Santa. Is your Sub-Zero refrigerator running?
Well, yes, it's running.
Well, then you better go catch it.
That looks at your food. And as your food is emptied in the refrigerator, it will tell you what you need to shop for the coming week. So let's say you have 2 gallons of milk and you use one of the gallons of milk and now there's only one, but you want 2 gallons of milk in your refrigerator. It'll say, while you need another gallon, or your bananas are low, or you only have two loaves of bread, need to buy bread. So it really actually will scan your refrigerator and make a shopping list for you.
I've been waiting for this.
So I thought that was really, really cool. And maybe even transfer that to an app on your phone. So when you go shopping, it'll just tell you actually what you need. Also, the robots that will be there will probably also indicate some of the things that are in your pantry that you need to replace, cleaning items, things along that line. So a lot of huge, huge advancements in home ownership over the next 10 years. It has a lot of things to do with robots. Robots, probably in the next 10 years, will probably be in a house just like you have a refrigerator, a stove, or a vacuum cleaner. It'll just be an appliance that is part of your home. So kind of look forward to the next 10 years for that to happen. Maybe even the pets. I see probably in the next 5 years. You know, the coming generation, the young kids that are in elementary school right now, when they become adults, I don't think they're going to be having driver's licenses.
It's your kids, Marty. Something has got to be done about your kids.
They'll probably have operating licenses, because I think probably in the next 10, 20 years, all the cars will be self-driving. So you really won't need a driver's license. You'll just need an operating license that is issued probably by your state that says you have a right to operate a motor vehicle. So you won't be really driving, because you won't be really driving. You'll be operating it. And there'll be, you know how they say mass transit is pretty much funded by the state. There'll probably be mass transit, but most likely it'll be funded through your taxes, property taxes, and so on. And it'll probably be like an Uber. So if you need a ride somewhere and so on and so forth, and you're a property owner and you pay your property taxes, you'll be able to maybe reserve a Uber that is actually self-driving, that could drive you to the airport, or it could drive you to, maybe if you needed to go to the hospital and so on and so forth, it'll be part of your property taxes for assistance to different places if you're disabled, or like I said, you need to go to the hospital, or you need a trip to the airport or shopping or so on and so forth. Probably won't cost you anything. It'll just be part of your property taxes. So I thought that would be a real interesting thing that probably in the future to watch out for. Another thing so many people have asked me through some emails and just talking to me is a lot of the first-time home buyers are saying that they're really not getting the full story of home ownership. You know, they get excited, they finally can qualify, they've saved a down payment, they finally have got jobs that are pretty decent, and the real estate agent pretty much sells them a home on emotion. So they purchase a home and then they find out that they haven't been told a lot of what it's like to be a first-time home buyer. So if you are a first-time home buyer, I'm going to go over some things that probably your real estate agent isn't really talking about, or maybe you really haven't considered. First of all, you know, people say, why rent when you can own a home? And that usually is one of those sales techniques that a lot of real estate agents are saying, geez, you know, you're renting, you could buy a home for what you're paying for rent. Not necessarily. The biggest mistake I see first-time homebuyers is going, well, I'm paying $2,100 to rent or $1,500 to rent or whatever it is. I can go out with a little bit more money, purchase a home. Not necessarily true. When you buy a home, there is a lot, and I repeat, a lot of maintenance on a home that you will never, ever consider. I'm just going to go through a lot of maintenance issues and that you should consider. First of all, just a basic thing is trash. You know, people don't consider trash. A lot of counties in their property taxes have free trash pickup, but a lot of places you have to pay for trash, and that could be $50 to $60 a month just for trash pickup. Another thing is HOAs. HOAs are another monthly fees, but HOAs go up. You know, maintenance, lawn cutting, common areas. You have a swimming pool, maintenance on swimming pools, and then maybe the swimming pool needs maintenance, so they reassess everybody a certain amount to get the funds to repair the swimming pool or common areas and so on. So that really goes up, and that's really never discussed. Also, painting of the home. You know, your house is going to need painting probably if it's really the original builder's paint. There's an old saying, they get a gallon of paint and mix it with a gallon of water and spray your house. So it's usually you're lucky to last 3 to 5 years. And if you have to get your house painted, well, you're looking at $35,000 to $5,000 just for a house that's maybe 1,900 to 3,000 square feet. So that's an added cost. Windows, plumbing, toilets don't flush, so now you need a new flush apparatus in the tank, so you have to repair that, and if you don't know how to, you need a plumber. Toilet gets plugged up, shower doesn't work, so now you need a new faucet for your shower. Lawn cutting, got to cut the lawn every week. Fertilize, that's going to be $50 to $60. You got now water bills. If you have a big lawn, you're going to have to water your lawn. So now you have, your water bills go higher. Geez, like light switches break. Garage door doesn't open, so you have to hire somebody to put new springs on your garage door. Let's see, air conditioning breaks, furnace breaks. People just don't realize all the maintenance that it has to do in a home. And if you're not really handy, you're going to pay through the nose to have people come over and fix all that stuff. But when you're renting, you don't consider that because you just call the landlord and the landlord fixes it all. So if you need a new furnace, they have to call up the landlord and say the furnace doesn't work, and they have somebody over there, and it's the landlord's responsibility. But when you purchase a home, it is your responsibility. And so many first-time home buyers just don't realize just the maintenance. I've seen people buy really beautiful homes, and then just walking down the street, their lawn isn't maintained, it isn't watered, there's weeds all over, the lawn's drying out, maybe some sprinkler valves break and now the sprinkler doesn't work, or somebody comes over and you cut your lawn and you run over sprinkler valves, and now the sprinklers are, when they come on at night, are half the water is running down the street because the sprinkler valve is broken, but you don't realize that because you're not really looking for it. So now you have to replace the sprinklers or the actual solenoid switch that turns on the sprinklers. If you have an automatic sprinkler system, they are not working. So you have to have a sprinkler repair company come out, replace your sprinkler solenoid switch so they turn on. Timers don't work. You need a lawnmower, and now you have to cut the lawn, and then you need a trimmer, but so many people just run over their lawns, they don't trim them out, so they're just really not very well maintained, and weeds grow. Now you have to go out there and get the dandelions out of your lawn, or they just take over your lawn. And they don't tell you that when you purchase a home. They just don't tell you. Tremendous amount of maintenance. Stove goes out, refrigerator goes out. And these appliances nowadays, you'll be lucky to get 5 to 7 years out of them. That's all they are. They're cheaply made. You pay through the nose, and they'll be lucky to go 5 to 7 years. And so many people, I fixed my refrigerator numerous times, almost 20 years old, but it's really well built. I don't want to go out and spend $2,800 and just buy some cheap junk that's made in some foreign country that's only going to last me for a certain amount of time. So that goes out. Stoves go out. Furnaces go out. You're looking at $6,000-$7,000 just to replace your furnace. Air conditioning goes out. Another $2,000. So you know, this first-time home buyers aren't told this. So when they go and they buy their home, they think, I'm renting, and I can just, you know, buy a home, and for a little bit more, I can own a home. And it isn't a little bit more. Really, it isn't a little bit more. I always tell people, if you're a first-time home buyer, and this is, people think I'm crazy when I say this, not just insurance, because you have, you know, taxes and insurance, and then principal, interest, taxes, and insurance in your payment. But the things that you don't is you don't have all that maintenance put into your payment. So I say add probably another $200 per month just for maintenance on our average home.
You're kidding me.
$200 per month maintenance. Just little things like, I fixed a light switch or the socket I need to fix, or the sprinkler valve broke, or the screen is ripped, or the window doesn't work and I need to fix the window. Just for little tiny things that add up, another $200 a month. So like I said, if you're a first-time home buyer, your real estate agent isn't going to tell you, or the lender isn't going to tell you, all the added costs that has to do with purchasing a home. Also, utilities. You know, in the summer, if you buy a home, you're not going to be turning on the heat, but you might be turning on the airco. And then you turn on the heat, and now all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, when I was renting, if you're coming from maybe a little two-bedroom apartment, you might be spending $150. Now you've bought a house, and you're spending $350. Wow. So you really need to really look at how your budget is when purchasing a home, not just your payment. Like I said, it's quite a lot of maintenance. A tree dies and I have to replace a tree, or you have a big huge tree and now it's just out, you know, grown so big that you need someone to trim it down. That's another added expense. just like I said, a lot of things that go into purchasing a home that a lot of buyers just aren't aware of. The thing that a lot of times people will tell me is, what some of the stories do I have regarding purchasing a home, like when I'm working with buyers and sellers? So I'm actually going to go over some of the three big stories that kind of over my years that I remember that just really, really, really surprised me. The first one, that I had a young couple, and they were buying a home, and we walked in this home, and it was immaculate. I mean, it was really super nice. And I always tell people, if you are showing or have been shown a what they call a fix and flip, and it's owned by like an LLC or it's owned by like an investor, run away, because I'll tell you, all they do is cosmetic work. A little paint, you know, what do they say? It's like a lipstick on a pig, basically. A little kiss and a Band-Aid. And you walk in, oh, look at it, so nice. It's got what we call a floor in a box, which is a cheap floor. They go to Home Depot and just lay these cheap floors that look like wood floors down in a particle board with a veneer on top of them. And they just, that's kind of the cheap inside thing that everybody has now. Even new homes have it. They throw that in. They just hide a lot of things behind the walls. They put, you know, they spray paint the kitchen, old kitchen cabinets. It just, you walk in and you look, it looks really, really nice. But then you realize after you buy it, you know, the sockets start shortening out, the light switches don't work, there's plumbing leaks, things a lot like, because it's a quick flip and quick fix and flip. So I'm hesitant on showing fix and flip homes. Mostly if they're, like I said, bought by an investor or an investor, because they're not going to put a ton of money in. But, a nice home that's owned by people who've lived in it for a while, who's really upgraded it, those are the ones that take pride in them. The other ones are just in and out, make a few bucks, and see you later, bye. So I really, really tell anyone who's buying a home, first, second, third time buyer, keep away from fix and flip properties. Let me give you an example of kind of a fix and flip property that I was showing. They actually put a contract on it, and then we had a home inspection done, and oh my god, it was just amazing. The shortcuts and the deception that the seller tried to do. We bought this house, put an offer on it, let's say. Buyers put an offer on a home, and it was just really, really nice, and they didn't want to do a home inspection.
Oh, no!
And I said, no, you know, let's do a home inspection. No, China, it's beautiful. It's a great house. There shouldn't be any problem. I said, please, just do a home inspection, just for state of mind. So they were trying to save, I think it was like $375, $400, and because, you know, when you're purchasing a home, you have a lot of expenses, down payment, closing costs, things like that. So you try to, you know, save as much money as you can, but don't go and try to save on an inspection. You will regret it the rest of your life. So finally they said, okay, we'll do it. So we went in, got a really good inspector, and he checked everything, and he said, you know what? All the windows in this whole house have no locks.
What did you say?
So there was no locks on any of the windows. Anybody could have just came and opened up a window.
Wow.
We're like, wow, that's really interesting. So then he looked at some other things, and he went up in the attic. There was an attic fan, and he was up in the attic and was laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? He said, JD, come on up here. This is a total joke. And he showed me, and somebody had cut into the ceiling a square and mounted an attic fan in and never wired it up at all. There was just wires in the attic, and they weren't hooked up to anything. And I just went, oh, wow. So we continued on looking. We went down in the basement, and there was a shower and a bathroom, and so we looked at the furnace, and the furnace was really good. And we went in, and he turned on the shower, and the shower was going, and all of a sudden, there was water, and we're like, where's this water coming from? We went, and it was in the furnace room right around the corner from the bathroom, and we said, turn off the shower, and we turned off the shower, and there was water all over, and we had wiped that up and so on and so forth. And what the person did is they installed a shower, and there was no plumbing. I mean, this is like the weirdest thing I've ever seen. They put a fake bathroom in.
What the hell?
There was no plumbing at all for a bathroom, and they created kind of almost like a movie set bathroom. There was no plumbing, so they put a shower in, and there was no plumbing for the shower. They just put a fake shower in, and there was no sewer for the shower. So when he turned on the water, there was no sewer for it. The water was hooked up. It was so weird, but no sewer for the water to go out. Then he looks and he goes, this is a fake toilet. And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, somebody had put, this is like the most bizarre thing. They had put concrete in a toilet, and they sprayed it white on the bottom and filled it with water, and they filled the top with water. But when he moved the toilet, there was no sewer that the toilet was hooked onto. It was just resting on concrete as a fake toilet. And we went, are you kidding me? So basically, I just said, after we looked at that, we just said, we'll walk. And, you know, I just so told the buyer, cancel the contract. This whole place is just a total disaster. So we canceled the contract, and they turned to me and said, John, that was the best $400 we've ever spent in my life. And I said, guys, I'm glad you did it and didn't waive the inspection and try to save $400. So that was one I'll never forget. The house that looked beautiful, but it was just a licking a Band-Aid and Mickey Mouse put together just to make a few bucks. And once it closed, the guy was out, and you probably would never be able to find the seller again, because it was an investment company that bought the property. Okay, the next thing that is kind of trendy, it's been kind of trendy, geez, I'd say for the past 10 years, it's been around ever since I started selling, but not real trendy. For the past 10 years now, it's staging a home. That seems to be kind of like the in thing. Let's get a home and let's stage it and have a stager and they can come in and we can put some really nice furniture and couches and beds and all that. And what's really interesting is I worked for a builder when I first began years and years ago that actually staged model homes. When you go to new home builders, they always have model homes. And got a chance to talk to the stager, and she said all the furniture in a builder's home, like I said, that is a model home, is all mis-sized furniture. They're all smaller than normal furniture because, like, the beds are smaller, the couches are smaller, everything is smaller because it makes the house look way bigger, but it's not your normal furniture that you buy at your normal furniture store. It's almost like staged furniture. And I went, wow, I never knew that. And she said, yeah, look at the bed. The bed's smaller, the couch is smaller, everything is smaller, so it gives you the impression that the rooms are way, way bigger. I always tell people, don't stage your home. If you're selling your home and the real estate agent's trying to say, we need to stage this, first of all, it's going to cost you money. Second of all, it's misleading the buyer. It's better to just clean the house up, get rid of the clutter, get rid of anything that a buyer has to walk around. And what I mean is, you open a door and there's a, let's say, a pantry or a cabinet or something along that lines that the buyer walks in and has to walk around it, it gives the impression that the room is a lot smaller than it is. Or if your bed is in the middle of the door and they open the door, they have to walk around your bed, it's going to make the room look way smaller. So if you're cleaning something or you're staging your home, make sure you have straight lines that people can walk straight and not walk around a coffee table or a couch or a bed or anything like that. But if you start getting furniture in an empty house, empty houses are great because empty houses always look real big. People can imagine what they want to put in it. But if you stage a house, it kind of misrepresents people, the house. And then when people come in and they, after they buy it, they're like, whoa, this really doesn't look as nice as what we bought it, because all the real nice furniture that was used for staging is gone. Now it's just this empty house. I'd rather just sell an empty house, and then that way the people can imagine what their furniture is. Also, another thing with this AI and software and Photoshop, you know, a lot of these people are actually doing virtual staging where they go and Photoshop and AI all this stuff in the home, and then you go into the home and there's nothing in it. And then you look at the comments and it goes, this home has been virtually staged. No, you're just misleading people. And I always tell people that's the worst way to sell a home. Just leave it empty or clean the house and get rid of the clutter and straighten it out and make it look nice. Don't try to make the house look like something that it isn't. It just isn't going to work.
Yeah, sure.
Smells. Oh, I remember sitting down talking to a lady who owned a townhome and she had cats. My eyes were watering. I can handle smells. They should put terrorists in this house. They would talk immediately because the smell was so bad. It was burning my eyes. And I was like, you've got to change the carpet. You have to change the carpet. Get rid of the carpet. But I just remodeled the kitchen. I said, people don't care. And she didn't. And I went, okay. So stupid me, I listed the home. And people never even got in the home. They opened the door and it was so overwhelming. They shut the door and left. So after my listing expired, she goes, well, I'm just going to take it off the market. So I said, oh, great, no problem. And a month and a half later, it was relisted and it said brand new carpet. And like I said, it's funny that she, no matter what I told her, she didn't change it. And then a new real estate agent comes in and she immediately changes the carpet. And they eventually sold it. But, you know, you can only do what you can do. Like they say, sellers think their homes are wonderful and they just don't want any negative input. And there's an old saying that says in the real estate field, it says, I'd rather be their second and third realtor than their first, because the first realtor trains them and the second and third realtor gets the commission because they've learned so much and they realize the first realtor was telling them the truth, but they didn't want to believe it. So that's pretty much kind of a lot of information that's going on in the real estate industry. Like I said, in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll be probably having a lot of robots in the home. Matter of fact, when you probably show a home, who knows that your real estate agent won't, your houses will be shown by robots that just show you the homes and the features of the home when you go. So, and like I said, appliances, they'll be all automated and actually tell you a little bit about what you need to pick up at the grocery store. Or what will even happen is maybe they'll transmit the shopping list to the grocery store. Grocery store will be all automated. The robots will put it in a self-driving store, a self-driving truck. The truck will deliver it. Your robot that you have in your house will go out and pick up the groceries and put them away. And when you get home, everything will be done. And who knows, though, you might even have a program that you upsell or update the robot that allows it to cook foods. And you just put in the recipe and your food will be cooked. I see that happening in 10 years. It's not science fiction. It's not fake or something that isn't going to happen. I definitely see it happening in 10 years. So, like I said, a lot of robots are probably going to be released for the average consumer to purchase it. Tesla's coming up with one. Boston Dynamics is coming up with one. NVIDIA is coming up with them. They're kind of the new in thing. It's like, you know, years ago you had television set and then in every house. Now you have a computer in every house. Now you have a refrigerator in every house, a vacuum cleaner in every house. The next future is a robot in every house. So just keep that in mind. Have a very, very good summer, guys. Hopefully this was something that really helped you. And I'll be talking to you later. Bye for now.
We hope you enjoyed Real Estate for the Common Man. If you did, don't forget to follow or subscribe. Tell everyone, your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, spread the word. We're everywhere you get your podcasts. Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, iTunes, you name it. If you can't remember all that, just Google Real Estate for the Common Man and you'll find us in a flash. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you had a great time. Make sure to follow or subscribe and have an awesome week ahead. See you next time, where we have more interesting and creative things to talk about. Take care of yourself and bye for now.